The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me in heaven when they do not believe I exist?" So if you're an unbeliever and you think that you're going to go to heaven or some nice place when you die, I would urge you to think again. Your fate is going to be most unpleasant. And for what reason? The evidence of the Creator's existence is all around us. It's so simple to believe that He exists. I encourage you to rethink. The Almighty has also said concerning believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" So if you are a believer and you're just going on doing whatever it is that you're doing and you're not making a concerted effort to get close to the Almighty, I want to suggest to you that you're going to be bitterly disappointed the day you die when you find out what your lot is. This program is about drawing close to the Almighty. And I hope that if you're listening tonight, you will learn from this and seek to draw close to Him. Today's message is, "Where will you spend eternity?" We started this in last week, and so this is part two. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." So an overview of tonight's program, we will recap that 99% of those called to be in heaven are not there. We'll talk about taking personal responsibility. We'll ask whether you fear the judgment of the Almighty. We will ask whether you know what sin is, really. We will discuss how nearly all of mankind is breaking most of the commandments. We will talk about loving the Almighty intensely. And we will discuss the continuum of possible destinations at the end of our lives. By way of introduction, who am I? Dr. James Robertson. I'm an engineer, strategic management consultant, and business executive with 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March, 1993. I know with deep certainty that the Almighty exists, and with equally deep certainty that He wants a deep personal relationship with every human being on this planet. It's a huge opportunity, and I urge you to step up to the plate and start working on that right now. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, through websites, this radio program, and shortly physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries for more information. Some questions from last week's program. How do we know we are close to the Almighty? Well, if you're really close to the Almighty, you will be hearing His voice clearly, and you will be talking to Him, and He will tell you that you're close to Him. Question number two, how do we know where we will be for eternity? Well, if you visit my website and look at the demographics of the kingdom page, you will get an indication of the different ranks in heaven relating to what you do in this life, and you'll be able to assess fairly accurately where you are on that scale, bearing in mind that there are very, very few people who are really close to the Almighty right now. Question three, if only those eight people, how did the world populate? This refers to the eight people who survived in the ark, the flood. Well, basically, if one man and one woman has a child every year from the time they are childbearing age, say 16 or 18, through to the ends of their lives, which in those days was at least 200 or 300 years old, that's a lot of children. And if those children do the same, the population can grow very rapidly. And in fact, if you do the arithmetic, it's not at all difficult for eight people to fully populate the world as we know it today. And in actual fact, it's only because of all the wars and the diseases, etc., that there's not a whole lot more people on the planet. Question four, what should our priorities be here on Earth? Well, fundamentally, I want to suggest to you that your first priority is to be in relationship with the Almighty Creator and seek to serve Him. In doing that, He will lead you into a way of earning a living that will provide you with the necessary to pay the rent, or pay for a house, buy food, etc., etc., and have a reasonably enjoyable life. But your priority should be to serve the Almighty first and let Him help you with the rest. Are we going to live the way we live here in heaven? Absolutely not. Heaven is very, very different. There's no disease. Nobody has to work. You're there to worship the Almighty. You're there to fellowship with the Almighty. This is the proving ground. This is the testing ground. This is where you get to demonstrate and earn your rank in heaven, or not in heaven, as the case may be. Going to repeat the last slide of last week's broadcast in terms of where will you spend eternity. I've been through a few points before that and concluded that 99% of those called to spend eternity in heaven as of 1995 would in fact spend eternity elsewhere. This is based on the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, which presents a number of visions where he was caught up into heaven. On the 7th of January 2002, I was told by the Almighty that in terms of the present generation, it was no longer 1% that would make it. The number of the present generation had declined. I was told that as at that date, if the world was to be judged at that moment, only 30 million people of the entire world population on Earth at that moment would qualify to enter heaven. On Passover 2004, the 6th of April, I was told that this number had reduced to 3 million. These statistics relate to dramatic changes that have taken place in the spiritual realm in the years following the 2000th anniversary of the birth of Yeshua, the Anointed of Yah. You may know Him as Jesus Christ. Most importantly, Satan was sentenced to spend 1,000 years in the pit on the 3rd of May 2003. See the Satan to the Pit 2003 page on the website. In revising this text on which this broadcast is based, to create the second edition on the Thursday, 1st of January 2015, Father said to me that today less than 100,000 of the present generation would qualify to enter heaven in some manner if the end were to come today. Now that relates to people who actually make it into heaven. I'm not talking about people in the outer darkness, which is not heaven really. It's a trash heap. The above statistics are given by the Almighty in order to challenge every one of us to turn to Him and repent of our sins and our errors, particularly those that we do not know are sins and errors. We are called to turn from those things that are accepted as true doctrine by hundreds of millions and in some cases billions of people and turn to Him. Much of this relates to the withdrawal of the grace that has prevailed on earth since the death of Yeshua on the stake. You might know it as a cross, and the ushering in of the new covenant at that time. This withdrawal of grace was a necessary precondition to the Almighty sentencing Satan to 1,000 years in the pit. Today, mankind is being required to take responsibility for what we believe. We're being called to enter into a close personal relationship with the Almighty. See the article, The Creator Desires Deep Relationship With You, on the website, or alternatively listen to the back issues of this program about 2 months ago. We're being called to take personal responsibility for what we believe and to stop relying on other men and the writings of other men to define our faith. We've been called to return to the essential fundamental writings inspired by the Almighty, both ancient and modern, and to hear His prophets. We're also being called to test every word in prayer through a deep personal relationship with the Almighty. We're being called to consider the challenge. Will you go all out to seek to please the Almighty? Will you go all out to seek to be found to be a good and faithful servant? Will you go all out to seek a high throne for eternity in the hope that you will at least qualify to spend eternity in heaven somehow? Or will you consume your life believing whatever you believe at the risk of being bitterly disappointed on the day of your judgment? Do you fear the judgment of the Almighty? So many people in this generation, and I guess it's been the same in many generations, rely on somebody else to be an intermediary between them and the Almighty. So we go to church and listen to the priest or the pastor. We go to shul and listen to the rabbi. We go to the mosque and listen to the imam. And we rely on their relationship with the Almighty, or their claimed relationship with the Almighty. That's not the way Father intended it to be. He intends you to have a deep personal relationship with Him. He created you to have a deep personal relationship with Him. And He wants to do that in the context of whatever your occupation is, of course, provided you're not in some sinful occupation like prostitution, in which case you really need to find another way of earning a living. But fundamentally, He wants to be part of your life. He wants to help you in your work. He wants to give you wisdom to do your work better. He wants you to find favor with the people you work with, favor with your customers. He's not geared up to you sitting in a seat listening to somebody else preach and teach on the basis of some supposed relationship. He wants a relationship with you. I really urge you to get that. He wants a relationship with you. With a view to assisting each one of us to answer the questions, here are a few verses to consider. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. It is possible to... Excuse me. It is possible to sit on a throne for eternity. However, it requires that one overcome it. Philippians 2:12, this is now from the Christian Bible. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're advised to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, simply because one has made a decision or prayed a prayer or goes to the local assembly, be it church, shul, mosque or other, or prays regularly or reads the writings, the book, Bible, Torah, Quran, etc., this verse suggests we need to work out our salvation. In other words, we need to do something active. Salvation is not inevitable, nor is it a right. A place in heaven is not inevitable, nor is that a right. Consider Revelation 21:7-8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his mighty one, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Here we see a critical juxtaposition. If we overcome, we shall inherit all things, and the Almighty will be our mighty one, and we will be his sons, children. Otherwise, we will have a part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is a part. In other words, one can go to heaven, but first burn in the lake of fire and brimstone for one's sins. Notice also that verse 8 specifically mentions the unbelieving. This accounts for all those who are not believers. In other words, the rest of verse 8 is speaking to believers. It is also speaking to those who call themselves believers but who do not really believe. So if you are a believer and at some time in your life you have been fearful or unbelieving or abominable or a murderer, remember Matthew 5:22, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So what I'd ask you to get here is, as a believer, if you have any of these sins, fear, unbelief, murderer, cursing, swearing, you've got a problem. A, you could end up in hell or the lake of fire for a while, which would be really unpleasant. And B, you're not going to get very far in heaven. So it's a bit of a double whammy, if I can put it that way. Continuing there, that passage, or a whoremonger, an adulterer, a fornicator. Man, are you living with every woman whose virginity you've taken? Woman, are you living with the man who took your virginity? Sexual intercourse with a virgin is marriage. If a woman is not living with the man who took her virginity, they are almost certainly in adultery. Repentance does not fix this. It is much more complicated. See the article on the Virgin's Covenant on the website. Fornication also includes spiritual treachery. Man, are you in complete submission to the Almighty or in rebellion? Woman, are you in complete submission to your husband or in rebellion, etc.? Or sorcerers, are you engaged in manipulation? Are you praying manipulative prayers? Are you cursing others by judging them and speaking out your judgment or in other ways? Are you using swear words like damn and hell, etc.? Idolaters, who or what are you worshipping beside the Almighty? Are you worshipping Yahshua, Jesus, a created being? Are you worshipping the Bible as the inerrant word of God, even though none of the writers claims this? Are you worshipping the Quran? Are you worshipping the Torah? Or a liar? This includes all false doctrines you've heard or read about and believed. Practice, talk about, preach yourself. It includes all jokes, white lies, practical jokes, etc. It includes what you write for advertisements, TV programs, magazines, books, etc. that is not factual and accurate versus fiction. It includes if you even absorb these things and speak of them as though they are true. If you are doing any of the above, Revelation 21:8 indicates that you will spend time in the lake of fire and brimstone, even if you subsequently make it to heaven, unless you have confessed your sin and repented in this life. There is a way out. Yeshua died to provide a sacrifice, an offering that we can take in order to be forgiven for our sins. Do you fear the judgment of the Almighty? John 1, 8-10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Matthew 13, 49-50. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So a vital question. Do we know what sin is? What is the essence of the judgment? So it's really important to understand truly what the Ten Commandments say. It's really important to check things out, like worshipping Jesus, worshipping the Bible, worshipping the Quran. Those are big issues. If you're guilty of any or all of those, you've got a problem. You need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to turn around. You need to stop doing those things. And all the other things that have just been mentioned. Continuing with the question, do you know what sin is? Revelation 21:8, just cited, gives a fairly detailed identification of sin. Many other verses provide more detail. In essence, the basis of the judgment is defined in Exodus chapter 20, starting at Exodus 19, verse 16. And it came to, this is to the Israelites in the wilderness after they left Egypt. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moshe, Moses, brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Yah, you might know him as God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because Yah, the eternally self-existing, you may know that as the Lord, descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and Yah answered him by a voice. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and Yah the eternally self-existing called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Chapter 20. And Yah spake all these words, saying, I am Yah the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other mighty ones, or gods, before me. First commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, am a jealous mighty one, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Second commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, in vain. For Yah the eternally self-existing will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yah, the eternally self-existing, made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Yah, the eternally self-existing, blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Fourth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, giveth thee. Fifth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Seventh commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Eighth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Ninth commandment. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Tenth commandment. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not Yah speak with us, lest we die. This is the only time in recorded history that I know of where the Almighty has come down on a mountain in fire and smoke and spoken to a large group of human beings about his commandments. Since the people asked that it never happen again, it seems likely that it has never happened again. Furthermore, in Deuteronomy 10, verse 4, Moses states, And he, Yah, the eternally self-existing, wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Yah, the eternally self-existing, spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of assembly. And Yah, the eternally self-existing, gave them unto me. The Almighty himself recorded the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. Stone indicates that these commandments will never pass away. It therefore seems clear that those commandments are the most important words the Almighty has spoken to mankind. It is my clear understanding that a critical element of the judgment, and a key element that will determine whether a person will spend eternity in heaven or elsewhere, will be based on these Ten Commandments. If you do not have a deep revelation of the Ten Commandments, if you are not actively seeking to comply with the Ten Commandments, if you have not analyzed your life and examined how and where you have broken the Ten Commandments and then deeply repented and asked for forgiveness, you're in deep trouble when you die. I'm not trying to be ugly. This is just the way it is, folks. That's the basis of the judgment, is the Ten Commandments. If you're breaking any one of those commandments or have broken them in the past, you need to confess and repent. It's a harsh reality that pretty much nearly all of mankind is breaking pretty much most of the commandments. In recent years, I've come to understand that most of mankind, including particularly the Christian church, is at an individual and corporate level breaking most of the commandments. In particular, almost universal doctrines of the Christian church regarding who Yeshua, Jesus, is considered the way to be, the way many view the Bible, the names applied to the Almighty and Yeshua, the day observed as weekly Sabbath, the major holidays and feasts, the way parents are treated, marriage and virginity, monogamy, are resulting in sins that are affecting an extremely large portion of the world population. Furthermore, sins that are commonplace in Christian nations, like abortion, advertising that stimulates covetousness, or is misleading or manipulative, jokes which are lies, etc., are seriously compounding the sin of the world. This is compounded by the false doctrines of the vast majority of mankind. All of this adds up to a terrible litany of sin. Ultimately, every person will pay the price for what they have done and what they've believed on their day of judgment, and what they've caused others to believe. Hence the terrible statistics in terms of implications if judgment was to come on the world today. This is coupled with an enormous need for repentance, self-examination, and turning around in order to reverse these statistics. Matthew chapter 18, verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Is there an alternative? Can one aspire to a high throne? Psalm 111, verse 10 states, the fear of Yah, the eternally self-existing, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So we can start by fearing Yah and seeking to do his commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we love the Almighty, then we should want to keep his commandments, and we should not find this grievous. If we love the Almighty, we should be willing to check out our doctrines and our conduct and make whatever adjustments are called for. If. Are you willing to love the Almighty this intensely, even if it requires that you radically change what you believe and what you do? It's so important to become aware of the fact that what you do in this life is going to determine your fate for eternity. It's really important to understand that your spirit will continue to exist after your fleshly body dies. You have the choice of being an unbeliever and continuing on earth as an ancestor spirit or demon, and you have the choice of being a believer and going to heaven and possibly sitting on a high throne, although there are other ranks in heaven, lesser ranks, if you don't really put your back into it. Returning to the text that I was reading a minute ago, consider Jude chapter 1, verse 7 as a counterpoint. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Fornication includes spiritual treachery, idolatry, false doctrines, etc. There is a place of eternal fire where many will be utterly destroyed. The Quran is very much more explicit about the torment for those who do not believe, and for those who unrepentantly transgress the commandments of the Almighty. There is a choice. See the section on commandments on the website for a detailed discussion of the application of these commandments. It's important to understand that as a believer, you can experience time in the lake of fire and brimstone. You can experience time in death where you will pay the price for your unrepented sin. Yeshua died a terrible death. You may know that man as Jesus. He died a terrible death to provide a way for us to get repentance for our sin or forgiveness for our sin. It's easy. It's straightforward. I've taught about it several times in the last 6 months. And I urge you, if you are becoming aware of these things, to really take this seriously and start dealing with your sin and seeking to qualify for a high rank in heaven. It's not that difficult. As mentioned a moment ago, it is not simply a question of either heaven or the lake of fire. There is a continuum between the outer darkness at the very fringes of heaven, where those who once believed but then carried on as before will weep and wail and gnash their teeth. And at the other end there are high thrones with Yeshua for those who overcome in this life. Consider Matthew 8 verses 11 and 12. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there is a place of outer darkness for believers where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Consider also the parable of the foolish virgins in Matthew 25:10-13. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Here believers are rejected on the basis of their conduct. So it really is possible for you to be a believer and not be prepared, not to have grown in your relationship with Father, and find yourself in heaven in the place of the foolish virgins, which is in the sort of outermost regions of the lowest ranks in heaven, not in the outer darkness, but the next step up from the outer darkness. Really encourage you to start really putting your back into it and seeking to draw close to Father. Consider also Matthew 7:13-24. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The way to destruction is large, and the way to salvation is straight, constrained, tight, difficult, and the gate is narrow. Those that which do not bring forth good fruit are cast into the fire. Many will call on Yah, the eternally self-existing, and on Yeshua, and do mighty works in the name of Yeshua, and yet the Almighty and Yeshua will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness, failure to keep the commandments. So one can call on the name of Yah, pray in the name of Yeshua, and yet not keep the commandments. And on the day of judgment, one can be told, I never knew you. Depart from me. Such people may still qualify to enter heaven, will be at a level in heaven that is commensurate with their service to the Almighty, and to the extent to which they've overcome sin, ranging all the way to the outer darkness, the location furthest from the throne. Much of this is discussed in the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, which I've referenced before. There is a copy on the website. If you go to the Eternity tab on the main menu, under that you'll find The Final Quest. You can order it from Amazon. Strongly recommend it as one of the most anointed prophetic works in this age, even though it does contain some error. There is a broad continuum between those who truly please the Almighty and who sit on a high throne to those with whom he is greatly displeased, but who may exercise just sufficient faith to scrape into heaven. Yah refers to the outer darkness as the trash heap of heaven. He never visits the people there, and they are not allowed into the body of the assembly in heaven. As they rejected him and ignored them during their lives, so he ignores them and rejects them for eternity. Folks, that's frightening stuff. You're going to have the whole of eternity to look back on your life, and if it's a mess, and if you didn't get close to Father, you're going to have eternity to regret your foolishness. Continuing on the continuum, there's a similar continuum amongst the ancestor spirits on or demons on earth, the spirits of human beings who die not knowing the Almighty. See the page Where Are You Going on the website for a discussion of the different kingdoms in the satanic and demonic realm on earth, where there are currently over 100 billion human spirits. Further discussion of this aspect is not relevant. This document is directed at those who choose to seek to spend eternity in heaven. The judgment and torment in hell is reserved for believers. Hell and the lake of fire and brimstone are where believers are punished for their unconfessed sin prior to entering heaven. See the page on hell on the website. Satan and unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire and utterly consumed at the end of the contest should Yah win the contest. See the page, the contest, on the website. For an indication of the continuum in heaven, consider 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. This passage confirms that our works in this life, what we do, will be tried by fire, and that which endures the fire shall result in a reward. So it is possible to live life in some form of service to the Almighty and let loose everything one has worked for on the day of judgment and still be saved. Consider also Jude 1 to 20, chapter 1, verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Carnality, the flesh, is something that will be destroyed in the fire. The works of our own strength, our own intellect, our own comfort, our own will, etc., those things that we do that the Almighty did not tell us to do will be destroyed in the fire, and we may be saved with nothing to show for our lives. Consider also 1 Peter 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah. Consider also John 15:6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If we do not live life the way the Almighty wants us to live it and abide in him through Yeshua, we can be cast forth and burned. The book The Final Quest provides considerably more insight into this, and some extracts are presented later in this teaching. Again, folks, I can't stress this enough. There is huge ramifications in the life to come, depending on how we live this life. You can qualify to sit on a high throne. You can become a friend of the Almighty. That's what he created you for. All the rest of this stuff is fluff and stuff. So to recap, where will you spend eternity? We recapped that in 1995, 99% of those called to be in heaven were not there. We talked about taking personal responsibility. We asked whether you fear the judgment of the Almighty. We asked whether you know what sin is, really. We discussed how nearly all of mankind is breaking most of the commandments. We talked about loving the Almighty intensely. We discussed the continuum of possible destinations at the end of our lives. All of this in the context of the statement the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. I really hope that at this moment you are seriously considering where you will spend eternity. And I really hope for your sake that right now you're feeling a bit unsettled, a bit uncomfortable. And I really hope that you are in the process, if you've not already, making a strong decision to turn your life around and serve the Almighty. There's a huge amount of material on the website to help you do that. Look particularly at the radio pages for the radio transcripts, volume zero in the set of books that's due for publication in a couple of weeks' time, already available on the website. In terms of this overall teaching, five key documents. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator near the bottom of the menu. The last 12 broadcasts have been based on that. Really, really important. Either download the article or go to the radio page and read or listen to all of the programs. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu. Songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? This base article on which this teaching is based. What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Also near the bottom of the menu. All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the menu item, the show, and then on podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. They're all there right now to download. Answers to a huge number of questions. Everything that's on the website is also in the books, or just about everything, going back to 1998. They will be physically available soon. If you would like a set, email me and I'll certainly put you on the list. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or to give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I'd really love to do that. Please don't hesitate to contact me. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. And as I've said repeatedly, It doesn't matter your gender, it doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter whether you're well-educated or not well-educated, it doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor, none of that matters. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, desires a deep personal relationship with you. And you can take what I've taught tonight and what I've taught over the last 8 months and what's available on the website to get there. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I